Praise the Lord.
Thank God for his goodness and his mercy, and thank God for his goodness. Praise God for all of you tonight, and the Lord be with us all. I want to look tonight a few minutes, and I was talking on Sunday, New Covenant. I was talking on Sunday about being discouraged, allowing things to discourage you, and what causes people, because I was reading in John where Jesus writes in one place, and he says in John the 10th chapter, and we can go there to start tonight and a few other places, but in John chapter 10 tonight, in Galatians it tells us in the 6th chapter, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall faint reap if you faint not. And I like that a lot, because I've learned as I got older to do well, and not just to some people sometimes, but you don't just want to be a person who is an occasional, when the occasion rises, you do nice things and say hello to whatever. You want to be the sort of person that you're doing well, that you are a well-doing person. You know, yes, it's the person that you are. You become someone who you go the way of peace, no matter who it is, and whatever way, and you do those things, and you have other people in mind other than yourself, and just the people who's. Some people have other people in mind, but it's only people who cause them to ascend to where they want to be.
Yes.
And there's just so many different things we do. But anyway, but when he says be not weary in well-doing, he means don't get tired of obeying God.
Yes.
Don't get tired of going along with God. And it's because everything about God is right. I don't know how to say that differently, but everything about God is right. It is true that we obey God and we go along with God for the purpose of having eternal life. But then again, the reason why we should go along with God is not just for having eternal life, although that's the ultimate reason, but because the way of the Lord is right.
Right. Amen.
That's
right.
All his decisions are right. His wisdom is perfect.
Yes.
He wishes us the best. There's no person, there exists no being in the universe that wishes, whose desire, when I say wish, in his case, is not like wishing like we say, but who desires and whose wishes and whose wants for you. Are greater. God has the ultimate greatest good. He has a greater good for my children than I have for them. He has a greater good for me than I have for me.
Amen.
And so God is just good all the way around. As they say in the churches all the time, God is good. God is good all the time. And that's absolutely true.
True. Yes, it is.
And if we would worship God more, if we would have God in our life all the time, if we had more God and less of us, in our decision making and in our, we ought to look at ourselves sometimes and just declare, like Job did, I'm just vile on my best day. You know, the greatest part of me is the Holy Ghost who dwells in me. And without him, I have no redeeming quality. And I was reading a thing from Watchman Nee the other day when he was saying something about humility. And his point was that the people who have the most the most humble people are the ones that you don't hear, the ones you hear the least talk about humility.
Yes.
And there's so many people who are you're on the battlefield for God. You're on the battlefield for God. You're on the battlefield, and you're fighting for God, and we're glad you're here, and we want to fight. But really, you can be dangerous sometimes because you want to meddle.
Yes, yes.
And you're on the battlefield. That is true, and we're glad you're on the battlefield. And yes, you're out here with everybody else fighting, but sometimes you can do some careless things because you want a meddle.
Yeah.
and you want to be recognized and everything else. Well, you know, that's something you got to work out with God.
Yes.
I pray that the people who are around you are aware of you, because you can get people, you can destroy people trying to make your own way.
Yes.
This way. And it takes some time. Sometimes people, you know, sometimes it costs people their lives because of people, even in God, and even got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
your selfish ambitions cost people's lives from time to time. And your selfish ambitions sometimes cause people to get off. The Pharisees were Jewish people, and they claimed that everything they did was because they were more godly than anybody else. But my God, they ran a lot of people down the wrong road. And Paul was almost one of them, if Christ had not picked him out. And brought him up in the way he was. And sometimes I wonder, you know, we read about Paul on the Damascus Road because he went on and became so great in God. Probably his name is mentioned, the only person whose name is mentioned more than the Apostle Paul's name is Jesus. But you do sometimes wonder, and it's probably not true, and I'm not saying there is, but I do sometimes wonder, was Paul the only one that Jesus came to? Did he come to others and they just didn't go?
Yeah.
Or were there others that Jesus didn't bother to come to because he knew they wouldn't go? But when we look in the Word of God, and in John, he says something. He says in John 6:10-25, and Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He says, this is the same chapter where he told them, a thief cometh not to kill and steal, but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I am come that ye might have life, and that more abundantly. The reason why, you know, I came is to give you life, and because until we meet Jesus, we don't have life.
Life, yes, amen.
And to give us eternal life, and everything in my life that I will allow, to be in Christ gets better and better. And let everyone who follows Christ and knows the name of Christ, people who the Bible says, know them that have the rule over you and are over you in the Lord and take the oversight or whatever. Know those people and find good people. Like I say, you know, I tell people all the time, find you a good church. Find you a pastor you can sit under and go to heaven under.
Yeah.
Find you a good pastor. Find you a pastor to work under that you don't feel in bondage to.
Right.
And that you can hear the word of God, and when you go in on Friday night, it's joy.
Yeah.
And when you go in on Sunday morning, it's joy. And you don't just show up because you're trying to maintain some status quo, or you're afraid they're going to rebuke you. What it finds you a good church where you can go to and enjoy being there. But make sure that that you enjoy being there because you're on your way to heaven. And you don't just like being there because you like the people, you like the setup, you like the way it is, you like the regimen, you like the routine, you like all these things. Make sure that the joy that you have in that church is because of God.
Amen.
Make sure that the pastor that you follow, the pastor that you love, make sure that the reason why you love that pastor and follow that pastor is because of God. Not because of their image, not because of their charisma, not because of how they speak or whatever. It's because they cause you to have the joy of God. They talk about and live God. Can't live God and live something else at the same time. God is in their life. They know how to seek peace and ensue. They're not busy about their own doings. Make sure you can do that, because you need to get very entrenched and comfortable there so you can sit there and be there until Jesus comes.
Right? Yes, yes.
You need to find some place that you can rest in the Lord until Jesus comes.
Yes.
And then when you get there, you need to make sure that what's running you off or disturbing you is you know, make sure that it's not you yourself.
Yes.
Because there are many good pastors and many good churches where people can sit. Sometimes it's not the pastor, the people that you're irritated with. The irritation is in you. You can get to a place after a while if you don't allow the Lord to come in. Oh yes, I know. There's much about many of us in the ministry. There are many places you can be. There are many rebukers and revilers and perfect people, and this is and that. There's all that out there. Many of them out there and in here. But when you find a good pastor and find a good church, it's like looking for a husband or a wife. You have to be looking for someone that works out for you to start with, that you can, you know, compromise and fit yourself to. If you're looking at someone who you're just going to put on and they're going to be perfect in the way that you see it, you're not going to find them. there's some compromise that you're going to have to do, and there's some acceptance that you're going to have to do. You're going to have to look at Reverend so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, Elder so-and-so, or whatever, and you're going to have to say the Holy Ghost dwells in there and there and there, and they really have a good grasp of the Word of God, and they're really on their way of heaven, on their way to heaven. You can't sit there and say, but I don't know, though. They can't handle their children. Well, you ain't got to worry about their children. They do.
Yes, yes, sir.
That's between them and God.
Yes.
You have, you know, well, I don't know about them. They, even though I talk about people loving money, but, hey, I can get around that. You can love money, and I can still go on with you and God.
Yes.
If when it's your time to talk about God, you talk about God.
Yes.
Now, if all you talk about is money, we have a problem.
Right.
And I have to find myself someplace else. When you start putting a lot of constraints on me about money and this and that and the other, I have a problem with you.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to the point of money is all more you, what you're more concerned about money than you are people, then yes, I have a problem with you.
Yes.
If the first thing out of your mouth is how you can collect your dues, tithes, assessments, whatever it is, all the time, and that's all we hear, and that's all the communications we get, that, for me, wears me out.
No,
I can't sit under that. I have to find a place to be someplace where I can, you know, fit in, but, you know, you have to find your place in God. But you have to find some place where you can not get weary and not get discouraged in God. And you need to, and in order to do that, you need to be someplace where God can encourage you. So the Word can encourage you, and the Spirit can encourage you, and the people of God can encourage you and lift you up. Now, I do know sometimes, because we get like that sometimes, nobody can lift you up because you don't want to be lifted. You enjoy your suffering more. You like being the person that you are, and you don't mind going through. And you don't realize that while you're waiting on God to move, what the move that God is waiting on to make is to change you. While you're wondering why this is not being answered and that's not being done, God is working on changing you.
He's, and for
some people, it doesn't matter. You know, you ever meet somebody, you get up in the morning, you try and cheer them, how you doing? I'm fine. Well, it looks like it's going to be a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, what's on your, you know, what's going on with your day?
Mm-hmm.
Is everything all right? Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Just, you know, hey, look, you know what you do with people like that? You say, well, praise the Lord. And go on about your business.
That's right.
Because if they might be having a hurricane in their life, but they sure ain't going to put one in mine.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going on in God.
Yeah, that's right.
Praise the Lord. And then you say, well, what if they always like that? Then I do like planes do. Planes don't do well through flying through storms, so they fly around them.
Yeah.
And when I find out that you have a hurricane line, I just keep flying around you.
Yeah.
And I know it gets a little bumpy when I'm on the edge sometimes, but that's about as close as I can get to you.
That's right.
When I find out that every time I try and fly to where you are, a hurricane comes with you, and I don't care who has anything to say about that. Some people...
Yeah.
That really, I feel like every time I go around them, they never have anything pleasant to say.
Yes.
At least towards me, you know what I'm going to stop doing?
I'm going to stop
subjecting myself to people who aren't pleasant.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, I am. Let me look over here at the board. Can I get an amen on that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to stop. I want all y'all to know, when you see Bishop Smith not listening to somebody, not being in somebody's seminar or whatever, I'm tired of them not being nice to me. And I'm gonna stop, and I want you to know there's some of your favorite people, so you can go tell them. So when you don't see me, you'll know why. I'm tired of them not being nice to me. And I'm going to stop putting myself in a place where people don't treat me fairly.
That's right.
Let it be known.
Yep. Amen.
No one has to put themselves in a situation of abuse, because that's not God. God doesn't abuse me. Why should I let anybody on earth do it?
Amen.
And they come in to discourage, because the devil uses it to discourage you. And I refuse to be discouraged, because when Jesus comes, I'm going back with him.
That's right.
And Jesus wrote this thing in John when he said this. He says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you in 26. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, the reason why I'm reading that is because he goes on down. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, why am I reading that? I want you to know tonight that no one can stop you from being in God.
That's right.
That's lesson number one.
Yes.
No one can take you away from God. And you notice he talks about the Father's power down here is greater than all. Yes. And that means that he's greater than the devil. And the devil can't stop you from being in God.
Yes.
But you can let yourself keep being around people. And you can let yourself, and this is because we have all the examples. You know, when Job's friends show up, they show up in the name of the Lord, but the devil allows them to come so they can discourage Job. I was talking about Sunday.
Yes.
And when you're discouraged, you give up. You can only, you know, I can take any person who's ever stopped being in Christ for whatever reason, and they have become discouraged in God. Either they're waiting on a blessing they think they should have received sooner. They didn't get it, so they don't need to be waiting on God. They're waiting on this, they're waiting on that. But they give up. If you've ever had the Holy Ghost dwelling in you and you've ever been saved and you've ever asked the Lord to save you and you felt the joy that comes with Him saving you and you've tasted, it says, of the world to come, you've sensed the Spirit, the only thing that causes you to give up, it doesn't mean you have eternal security in and of itself, but what causes you to give up is someone needs to discourage you in it.
Yes, yes.
So he says over in one place, he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. I think I put that someplace tonight where he said that we walk by faith and not by sight. I think that's in Hebrews. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
In Hebrews, yeah, 10 and 38. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. Faith and not by sight is in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Just like wishing is what the world does, we hope. They wish, we hope. They wish. You want, but you have no idea whether it's going to ever happen or not. You're wishing. We hope.
Yes.
We have a desire in God, and we earnestly expect it to happen. By the same token, we have faith. The world has luck. They're depending on whether or not they'll have good luck. I'm not depending on luck. I'm depending on faith. My faith is in God, not my luck. He's not my lucky charm. And Jesus is not according to luck. My faith is in Him. I'm depending on Him. And because my faith is in Him, and it goes on to say, if any man draw back, my spirit will have no pleasure in them. My soul shall have no pleasure in them.
Yes.
If any man draw back, if you give up on God, then it isn't that you were plucked out of His hand, it's that you left.
Left, yes.
And you changed your mind about it. So I'm encouraging everybody tonight, because I've seen over the last couple of years this mass migration, people moving from one place to another. Well, I don't have a problem with people moving to where they're comfortable. You stop being comfortable in a place, go to where you're comfortable, but make sure that place is in God.
Yes, amen.
I don't have this great rebuke. You know, everybody who left because they left God. They didn't leave God. They left the people.
Yes.
You know, everybody wants to say, well, they walked out. They walked out on God. They didn't walk out on God. They walked out on you.
You, yes.
They got tired of this and that. And that's what you need to do if that's what you need to do to stay in
God.
Now tell everybody else said that.
Because
you got to find some place where you can sit there and be in God and wait on God. You have to find. And that's the reason why there are multiple congregations and multiple preachers and everything else. And you have to find someone that you can trust and be in God.
Yes, yes.
You can't do like the Jewish believers. Jesus would preach, and they would come down, and they'd see His miracles, and they would believe. And it would say among the chief rulers and all of them, they would see Jesus, and they'd want to believe, but they were afraid of what the Pharisees would say.
Yes, yes.
It kept them out of heaven because they were afraid of what the Pharisees would say.
Yeah.
And then, and when you see Peter and James and John and all of them and Paul and all the saints who came out, you know, Aquila and Priscilla and Apollos and all the saints who came, these are all Jewish people.
Yeah.
And what they decided was, since we can't be comfortable in the synagogue serving the Son of God, we'll leave the Son of God, and go to where we can.
Yeah.
And if we need to go to Justice's house next door to the synagogue and have a living room church, that's what we will do. But we won't stop serving God. And if Annas and Caiaphas won't let us worship God and they insist that we go through all these rules, we'll go someplace else where we can just have God.
Amen. Yeah, that's what you need. Yes.
And that's what you have to do.
That's what you have to do. Yes.
You have to be someplace where you can worship God and stay. Now, if everything works out for you where you are, and that's fine, stay there. Yeah. If you're in a good church where you go to heaven, stay there and be faithful.
Yes.
But find you someplace where you can go. Because after a while, you will, if you're not comfortable, you will get discouraged.
Yes.
And we're not getting any younger.
Yes.
And if you're going to be uprooted and moved, the sooner the better, because the older you get, the harder it is to fit in.
Yes.
Have we old folk figured that out yet?
Yes.
I want to look at one more scripture. It's in 1 Samuel, and it's David. Paul wrote in Hebrews in another place, he said, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, unless you get tired of going along with things, the way things are going, and you give up. And there are many things that make people go up. They're not always in church. You can allow yourself to be weary waiting on a prayer to be answered. You can allow yourself to be discouraged because you need this to happen or whatever. But we need to learn to depend on God. God will see you through. Always trying to encourage Chandra because she's been looking for a house for so long. Well, it's not her fault that right now the housing bubble is huge.
Yes.
But God is a way maker. You don't know, and the Lord will see you through. It's up sometimes, it's down other times. But you have to always depend on God. You see, it doesn't just work in God that you get discouraged about this thing. You also get this, if you're praying for something and you get discouraged about the thing, you get discouraged about God.
Yeah.
If you're praying for a house and you get discouraged about the house, you get discouraged about God. If you're praying for a job and the devil can come in and says you ain't gonna get no job and you get discouraged about a job, you're not that great. You also get discouraged about God. After all, who were you asking?
God.
Where was your faith?
In God. Yeah.
So you must not get discouraged. You have to say, well, this might not work, but sooner or later, the Lord is going to see me through. That's faith.
Yes, amen.
And yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That's faith. Ye have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. In your patience, reserve from you. Possess ye your souls.
Yes.
So the devil likes to hold up things. Like when Daniel is praying and he needs to know what's going on in this dream that's being dreamed. And it's important because he needs to be able to give an answer. And he prays, and it's not in 3 days like before. This time around, it's 3 weeks before the answer comes. And you find out the devil's been holding it up.
Yeah.
Because as long as he holds up, things get worse.
Yeah,
Daniel needs to give this answer, and he needs to know what it's saying. But he keeps on praying until the Lord gets through. Now, God allows Daniel to pray for that long. You say, well, why didn't God step in immediately? It might just be that I need to know that all prayers aren't answered immediately. You say, well, what was God teaching Daniel? I don't know what he was teaching Daniel, but I know what it teaches me, that all prayers aren't answered always immediately. Sometimes prayers come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Sometimes your prayers are answered even before you even ask. And at other times, in God's time, it shows you that sometimes God has a reason for letting things go. This time around, it's not so much Daniel, it's the prince of Persia who needs to be put in his place.
Yes.
And so God says, well, Daniel's on the, you know, I need you to go to Daniel and see about him. But before you do that, you need to take care of this evil spirit, this demon, this prince of Persia, this fighting, this doing whatever. You need to take care of that. It could be that. But I know out of all that, it teaches me that God still hears and answers prayer.
Amen. Yes.
So Daniel keeps on praying and keeps on fasting. We need to keep on praying and keep on fasting.
Yes.
We must not let anything move us out of where we are in God. Our position in God.
Yes.
We can change in other things, but not our position in God. I'm looking at 1 Samuel and I'm looking at David, and you've read this a million times. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And you know about it. David is down in, he's fighting the, in 30 and 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew them not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David is all fighting a war, fighting with the Philistines. And when he comes back home, they send him back home. And when they get back to the camp, while they're out doing something good, the devil comes in, takes everything they've gotten, takes David and everybody. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no more power to weep. Everybody was sorry. And they were really going through. And David's two wives were taken. Go down to 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So many things come out of that when you look at that. One of them is, everybody is looking at David. He's the leader. He led them off the wet war. When they come back, they're saying to him, the reason why our everything got taken away is because we were out fighting a war with you. And it goes more than that. They're second guessing David, and says, we weren't supposed to be gone. You know, when they're blaming David, thinking about stoning him. So why are they thinking about stoning? Because they're saying, we weren't supposed to be gone. They're wrong about that, but that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
We weren't supposed to be gone. It's your fault we were gone. We were following you, but had not been you, had not been for you, we would have, everything would have been here.
Yeah.
And what does David do? David said, wouldn't me? No, he doesn't. You know why? Because leaders accept responsibility.
Yes.
If they can take credit when things go right, they have to take responsibility when things go wrong. I told you before, I have very little respect for anybody who can take all the credit for everything but can never take responsibility for anything that's wrong. And you're not going to change that in me, because if you can be man enough to have a position and take all the credit, you ought to be strong enough to know when to say the fault is mine and not let it be insinuated or anything else. You need to say it.
Yes.
The fault is mine.
Yes.
And David didn't come and take all the wives and children, but he took the responsibility for it. So well, how do you know that? Because David was the one who went up and prayed. And David inquired at the Lord in the 8th and said, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake him? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. David asked God, am I wrong or am I right?
Yes.
No, David is asking God, am I wrong or am I right?
Right, yes.
He's saying, do I need to pursue? In other words, David is saying, is this my fault? Do I need to bear this? Is this something's not going to work out? David doesn't say, Lord, I'm going up. Come on, go with me. He's asking God, shall I pursue? Is this something, you know, if this is my fault, then, you know, then obviously, okay, I'm going to have to live with it. And he's asking God, he's saying, shall I pursue? Do I, you know, do I go up? Are you going to go up with me? And the Lord says, go.
Go, yeah.
And David is vindicated.
Yes.
Because the Lord says, yes, I will be with you. Go get him. And then when you have the right mind, because we're talking about being discouraged. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Now, what is with this one third of his whole army? They are discouraged.
Yes.
They are discouraged. They are so weak, they're ready to give up.
Yeah.
They got them, let them have them. hey, look, we don't follow you. We've gone out here. We doing the best fight we can fight. We come back, got all these problems. We've had enough. We're not going any further. This is as far as we're going. They have given up. If y'all go over and win, so be it, but we're not going with you any further. This is what happens when you get discouraged.
Yep. Yes.
But there's something else that happens. The devil uses them to discourage the pastor. Because when the pastor gets ready to go up, he's got 600, and all of a sudden 200 of them say, we ain't going.
Yes.
You know how it is? I know how it is. I'm a jurisdictional bishop.
Yeah.
Some pastors go along with me, some do not.
Yes.
Some have made up their mind. They want to hear as much about me as they want to, and the rest of them are going to follow whoever they want to follow.
Yes.
And if I let them, I would have given up a long time ago, because I would have said, I'm tired of trying to lead these people who don't even want to hear me preach.
Yeah.
But you know what? God didn't give you that. So and so appointed you. God.
Yes.
Made a way for me. God put me in this position. I was consecrated unto God. I would have consecrated anybody on earth.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost and God confirming to me that God wanted me to do this, nobody in the world could have hired me to do it.
Yes.
And the first time times got rough, I would have left it.
Amen.
Because that's what hirelings do.
Yeah, that's
God put me in this. The Lord has proven to me over the years, I don't care what nobody says, but by the Holy Ghost, I would have left this long time ago. Say, well, you hated that bad. No, I love it. I appreciate being used by God. It is an honor.
Yes.
But even in that, people try to discourage you. You ain't called by God. You got that because of such and such. I don't care how it came down. The Lord asked me to do it, and I said yes.
Yeah.
And here I am. So then David says, you know, these 200, and you know, it's got to be disappointing, Elder Smith. You got 600 people who are fighting with you, and you're depending on, because in an army that size, you're depending on everybody there, and you got your different, you know, and it's not like we just look at all of them on TV, or everybody just walking down the highway. In the course of having an army, even today, the army is broken down into armies. During World War II, Patton had 3rd Army, Bradley had 12th Army, and Montgomery, I think, had 16th Army, something like that. They have armies, and in their armies, they have so many foot soldiers, so many lancers, so many archers, so many charioteers. They depend on them to make this battle work out.
Yeah,
and when you just have a third of them drop out, that's discouraging. It's like being in a church and you have people who won't follow you.
Yeah.
And when you need them, they're not here.
Yeah.
And then when you that's discouraging. If you let it.
Yes.
Because you're going to always have it.
Oh, yes.
If you let it. In your life, people will discourage you. If you let them, they'll try so hard. And the person who always steps in to fill in the breach and to build up and hedge in the gap, the person who does that is God. He sends someone in the gap, or he stands in the breach himself, or he changes it, or he parts your Red Sea, or he causes your walls to fall. He does what's necessary, or he sends manna from above, or he sends the Holy Ghost before you, or he sends an angel. But he makes up the shortfall if you'll just not be discouraged.
Yes.
And faint in your mind.
Yes.
The Lord is on the way.
Yes.
I was listening to one of Chandra's preachers, someone she listened to online, and he was saying, and I loved it, he was a young man, and he was saying, if you're standing someplace and you're in a fiery furnace, and he says, and are you in a lion's den? He says, if God hasn't delivered you out, God is telling you, when I'm coming in here with you.
Yeah.
And I like the way he said it.
Yeah.
He said, when you're in a fiery furnace, if the flames aren't going out, doesn't look like he's bringing you out, he says, you need to make up your mind. You need to listen for God, because he said, if I'm not bringing you out, I'm coming in.
All right.
Amen.
We need to, you know, all these little things start, and they keep you from going on. So he says, David says in this, I'm going to go. And then he goes on up, they find the spy. Then they go and they recover everything about verse 18, all the way up to 18. David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. Now, everybody ready for the Holy Ghost? Everybody say, I'm ready for the Holy Ghost.
Ready for the Holy Ghost.
This is the way you're supposed to be.
Yes.
And the next verses, and David came to the 200 men which were so faint they could not follow David, whom they had made also abide by the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men who had, and the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, they will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man, his wife, and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then David said, ye shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord hath given us. Because David realizes, yes, you went up with me, but you didn't win this battle. God did. And God didn't just give me some of the spoil to come back. He gave me all of it.
Yes.
And some of this I'm bringing back belongs to them.
Yes.
It's not one of those issues where he just gave you yours and didn't give them the rest. Mm-hmm. Some of it belongs to them.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When God is pouring out blessings, it's not just to you because you're the person preaching and you're the person in charge. Some of that blessing, all that's going on, it's not just for you. It's for everybody who's there.
Right. Yes, amen.
It's for everybody who's there. And you have to have that mindset.
Yes.
As Paul says, that you're no respecter of persons. And
yes.
You got to have that mindset that you're looking not only after your own well-being, but every other man's well-being. Mm-hmm. Because that's the mind of Christ. It isn't that I didn't get a little part of the resurrection, you got a big part.
Right.
I didn't get a little part of the Holy Ghost, you got a big part. I didn't get a little part of salvation, you got a big part. You sound like one of the Mormon doctrines where some people think we're going to be in the good part of heaven and everybody else is going to be in the slum part. There is no slum part.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The blessing is the same. Eternal life is eternal life is eternal life is eternal life. The blessing is the same.
Yes.
You have to be like David and want everybody to be blessed.
Yes.
You know, some people will sit back and say, well, they didn't fight. They don't deserve anything. David said, but the blessing comes from God.
Yeah.
Yes.
We would have nothing if it had not been for
God. Yes.
We wouldn't have the spoil. We wouldn't bring back the wives. We wouldn't bring back anybody if God hadn't gone with us. And God didn't just deliver the portion to the people who went. He delivered everything.
Everything, yes.
What are you going to do? Take what belongs to them? The blessing belongs to them. This is the mind that he had. And the only reason why they were able to do it, because they couldn't discourage him. They couldn't stop David from asking God. The Lord in 22, David says, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hands. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall the part be that he that teareth by the stuff, and they shall partake alike. When the blessing comes into the house of God, everybody gets blessed.
Yes.
This is, you know, the key is that we don't, you know, is the leader just can't let the people discourage him. Well, you know, y'all ain't going with me. I'm going to stop doing this one. Do you know how many times I could have said to somebody in one of these churches, well, you know, you're not one of my favorite people. I'm not one of your favorite people, so you have something. I ain't coming.
Yeah.
Not only is it not reciprocal that I go, I must go. It's what I do.
Yes.
Not because of the people, but because of God.
Yes.
I help people. It ain't because of Jesus. Helping everybody up here.
Yes.
The best I can. Not because I'm some great big person. Not because I'm going to get a reward. And I'm not going to stand before the people and remind them, well, you know, had to go down there and help so-and-so. Had to go somewhere and help so-and-so. No, it's not me helping. It's God.
Yes.
It is the Lord.
Yes.
When you have a winning situation, it is God. When things work out, it is God. When you are delivered, it is God. And your deliverance is my deliverance.
Yes.
Because I love watching God move.
Yes.
David wanted to see God. When they wanted to discourage him about going down there, he didn't talk to them any further. He went and asked God. They wanted to stone him, so David went and asked God, am I wrong?
Yes.
Because if I'm wrong, then I know you're not going with it. But what shall I do?
Yes.
Shall I pursue? Do I need to go after them? Can this be fixed? Will you go with me?
Yes.
Everybody else was ready to give up. They weren't going to bring any wives back. No stuff back. I guess they're going to find some more. But they were just going to weep and howl and sit.
Yeah. Have a pity party.
And David didn't take the few that stayed with him and tell the rest of them, well, you know, them brummels, let them all stay all there by the river. We ain't worried about them.
Yeah.
I'm going to take them view that I got. We're going to go on up.
Yeah.
Keep on going. That ain't David.
No, right. That's right.
That's right.
David said, when I start praying, I'm praying for everybody. When God starts blessing, I want God to bless everybody. Bless the ones who came and bless the ones who were too weak to come. Bless the ones who have enough faith and follow me. Bless the ones who did not. I need God to work out everything. Restore everybody. Restore all. Everybody. This is the mind we're supposed to have.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Going through the word.
Yep.
Because his faith is in God. Mm-hmm. The devil will come. I know of no greater discouragement than to have the people who are supposed to be with you not be with you.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's one of the main tricks the devil uses for a pastor and for a bishop is to have the people who are supposed to be following you not following you.
That's true. Yeah.
You're just like, you know, when you don't get with, you know, I'm talking about pastors and bishops when they're like David and following God.
Yes.
It is one thing when you're not following somebody because they're always wrong.
Yes.
But when they're doing the best they can do in God, they're going on about their business. You know, it's the biggest discouragement that you can't have a greater discouragement as a pastor as to have the people that you're trying to feed, lead, guide, pray for, lift up, heal, and do everything else not follow.
Amen.
You're trying to pull a jurisdiction together and every other pastor is following somebody else other than you.
Yes.
And not because they're living any more holy than you, not because they're praying anymore. It's just in their minds what they like.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
And when Jesus was here, mm-hmm. it was the same thing.
Yes.
He's trying to lead them to heaven, and they're talking about everybody everywhere else. When the apostles were going up, same thing.
Yes.
Paul told them in one place, he was preaching, and I'm almost finished, in 2 Corinthians. That was one thing. He said, people can come from almost anywhere. And he said, then you will hear.
Yes.
And everybody, and I've heard people in the Church of Living God, I've heard people say, Paul breaks out his record on them, and I'll break out my record on you. Let me tell you something. You don't always have a right to break out a record on anybody. Unless you're preaching like Paul was preaching, and Paul was saying this in all humility. He says, yeah, other people will come and they'll preach to you, and you'll hear all of them, and they'll say whatever. He says, and I'm the one who came down here when you didn't have anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, you didn't even know about God until I showed up. And I'm the one who preached and moved by signs and wonders and did that. He says, and nobody else even wanted to have anything to do with you, and none of the rest of them even come to see about you. But here I am.
Yeah.
He says, and when they do come through, you won't follow after them, flock after them, go wherever they go or whatever. He says, but here I am. I'm working with you day and night, crying and laboring with you, and you act like you don't even want to have anything to do with me. He said, you stop supporting me.
Yeah.
He said, you stop doing all these things. And then, you know, but yet he had made up his mind. He says, but I'm going to do what the Lord gave me to do.
Amen.
He says, but none of these things move me.
Yes.
So I'm going to continue. So I might continue this ministry and preach the gospel of God. He's continuing. And this is the way we have to be, whether we're preachers or whether we're sitting in those pews. Listen, if you have a pastor who isn't giving up, then none of the members should.
Yes.
Because nobody's been fought like the pastor. Even in the membership, the devil uses that to discourage. Not saying the members intentionally discourage the pastor. It's that when those things happen, it is not like it's supposed to be.
Yes.
You want the people to come. You want the people to enjoy having God. You want the people to enjoy singing. You want the people to want to come into the sanctuary and lift up holy hands and say glory to God. You want them to say amen. You want them to come in and shake off the dust and the dirt of the week and shake off the world and be around people of like precious faith. And this is the reason why I feel like when you come to the house of God, this is not a battle zone, not among the people. It might be a battle zone against the devil, but I'm not the devil and neither are none of you. So when you come in here, this is supposed to be a place of peace and a place of rest. It's supposed to be a house of refuge. Exactly. It's where you can come to God and leave encouraged and leave built up and leave with joy and leave feeling good about yourself. It's not for half of the room to enjoy what the man is saying while he castigates the other half. It's not the way it's supposed to work.
No.
Right.
A church is not supposed to, it's that word. And the word that we use is sanctuary.
Yes.
That means it's a place of peace. It's where you're supposed to come and really enjoy being there so that you come back again. And you don't have to be forced to come or mandated to come or required to come or regulated to come. You come because you love God. And when you come there, the Spirit meets you there and God blesses you there. Now, the greatest, God can have all the power in the world and the church can be blessed. And somebody will say, well, I'll come, I'll get blessed either. Listen, even Jesus, because the people wouldn't allow it to be so and the hardness of their hearts, Jesus, even when he came to his hometown, when he was among people, didn't do many miracles, not because he didn't have the power, But because of people's stubbornness and their rejection of him, a lot of times you could be helped and you could get prayer and a lot of things, but that's not what you want.
Yeah.
You want someone else to lay hands on you and you be healed.
Yes.
You want someone else to give you a word and you all of a sudden get a gift.
Yeah.
People are wrong to tell you you can have a gift just by laying on of hands. You can have a gift by laying on of hands if you meet the requirements.
Yes, right.
Yes. Yes.
You can have hands laid on you and get a gift if you meet the requirements. Yes. But telling you about a gift and laying hands on you won't give you one.
That's right.
You have to change so that God is willing for you to have the gift.
That's right.
And I don't care who's praying. You have to change so God is willing for you to have the gift. Yes. You got Peter and John. You got Peter and John down praying for people, and they can't do anything with Simon and Sorcerer.
Yes.
You got to have the right mind.
Yes.
In order for God to give you one. Mm-hmm. So when we look at, you know, look at the word, I'm done, you can stand. Try not to keep you standing too long tonight. Be not weary in well doing.
Be not weary.
Watch yourself.
Watching for you.
Not just when you're being discouraged in the house of God. Be careful when you're discouraged. Well, let sit down and get Al Smith, you know. Be careful when you're talking about discouragement so you understand me. It is one thing for something not to work out. It's the discouragement that comes, as James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's the discouragement that when the job don't come, you start looking at God and say, well, I guess God ain't going to help me.
Yeah.
It's the discouragement that comes that when a house doesn't seem to be coming or your career isn't lining up, and you say, well, and you've been praying, but well, I guess God ain't going to help me. Ain't no need to be praying for that. I've been praying for forever. It's when you're sick, as they say, and can't get well, and you get to the point where you start saying, well, I guess God don't care about me. I guess God ain't coming. That's the discouragement I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be just in the house of God. It could be anywhere.
Yeah.
You can get discouraged because you go to a funeral and all your family members seem to be excited more about someone else than they are you.
Yeah.
Guess they don't love me. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, that's right.
And when it really comes down to it, every trick that the devil does ends up at the same place to get you to give up on God, because he can't take you away from God. You have to get discouraged with God and leave.
Yes.
It has to let the discouragement erode your faith in God, erode your trust in God. And if you despair enough, and that's why when Jesus shows up, he tells them, you know, first thing he says to them, be of good cheer. And then he tells them, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be discouraged. Get up.
Yes.
Lift up the feeble knees, the hands that hang down. He says, get up.
Get up.
Get up. Yes. Be encouraged.
Yes.
God is going to show up. God will come in. The Lord will deliver. Mm-hmm. But in the same token, be aware. Many times people discourage you, they don't even know they're doing it.
Yes.
It's just the way the devil plays it out. Yes. But in your mind, now you can stand. When you get to the point and you start to pray, Lord, I need a healing. And the little voice says, you need to go on and pray about something else. They don't need you praying that. You need to rebuke that.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And say, the Lord is going to deliver me.
Amen.
And God is going to bring me out. You need prayer? What am I praying for?
The Lord lead and guide me through this
process. Okay. Well, it's a simple process. In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, you bless Sean to lead and guide in this process. Open every door, Lord, that should be open, that is you. Close every door that is not. And Lord, let this blessing be one of those blessings, Lord, that make it rich and addeth no sorrow. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, clear her mind that she would not wonder if she rushed or she moved too fast. Lord, I pray, Lord, bless her in this, in Jesus' name, and give her peace of mind. Lead her and guide her in the way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Turn everything towards God and ask God to move in your life in everything. And tonight I want to pray for us. I'm praying. I need to pray for Pastor Maston and Sister Maston tonight, Kim and Chris Maston. And I need to pray for Ilyasha. Ilyasha is very ill. just need the Lord to give her a miracle.
Yes,
more than that, I'm praying and I'm holding on to that she's safe and has the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But we need the Lord to really keep Kim, Madison, and Chris Madison. I know they're going through a lot, but they're doing well because they have God.
God, amen. Yes.
And when I talk to him, it's not one of these, you know, I'm down in the dumps and whatever. That's not there. I mean, because they have God.
God, amen. Yes.
And then as I was telling him at the funeral the other day, you know, how you react to the death, the woman ain't dead, so don't say I'm not putting in a grave, but what I'm saying is how we react towards death of a saved person is directly proportionate to how much and how we react, how much we believe in the resurrection.
Yes, amen.
So true.
The whole issue of why we sorrow not as those who have no hope is because of our hope and our faith in the resurrection.
Yes, amen. Yes.
That we are sure about. So they're holding on to God because they're saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she is too. This,
yes.
You know, this is one of the things they keep assuring me of. I haven't seen it in a while, but and I trust that that's true. I have no
Amen.
Reason not to. Why would I not?
Why not?
Amen.
And I pray that everything's all right, but keep them in prayer.
Yes.
And as long as and it isn't too late for God to give her a miracle.
It's,
you know, you have nothing to lose by asking God to give her a miracle.
Sure.
God knows what his plans
yes.
are.
Yes.
But you don't have anything to lose by asking
yes.
God to give her
yes.
a miracle
yes.
because God is a miracle worker.
Yes, he is.
And God, you know, healing is something that God can do
yes.
because he made these raggedy bodies. And
yes.
so the Lord is able to keep it. So ask God.
Yes.
I want to pray for Elsie Angela Rosen tonight. And she's going through this process with her sister and she's doing well. But, you know, even in this, I'm praying the Lord will keep her because it's not, you know, she still has a few. A few hurdles to get over. Pray for her mother, who's already kind of, you know, physically kind of going through some difficult things and whatever. We just need to. We have so much, and we can't. We must never get to the point where we stop asking God to move.
That's right. Yes.
Praying for Sister Nancy tonight.
Yes.
Praying for Ella Paulette Harrison tonight, and all
yes.
those who need to pray for Ella Deborah Sue. Ella Deborah Sue's been going through these arthritic knees, or no, what she has. What do you call it?
Fibromyalgia.
No, that's not what she has.
Neuropathy.
What?
Neuropathy
or whatever it is. Sister Nancy has the same thing. In the name of Jesus.
In the name
yes.
of Jesus.
Lord, in Jesus' name. Say the Lord, if you can lose them in Jesus'
yes.
name.
In the name of Jesus.
All this neuropathy or whatever it is and all these diseases, go out.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Be loosed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, set them free.
Yes.
Lord, move Philly Austin tonight. Lord, give her
yes.
a miracle. Lord, show yourself
yes.
great. Lord,
yes.
raise her up.
Yes.
Lord, like you raised up Jairus' daughter,
yes.
like you raised up
yes.
so many others that were close to death, and
yes.
wherever, Lord, raise her up, oh Lord. You have the power, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heal in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch Ella all that. Give a miracle tonight. Lord, touch Ella Sewell.
Yes, in the name of
Jesus. Sister Nancy, oh God. All those, Lord, touch India, oh Lord. All of us, and Lord, even the condition I have, Lord, touch me, touch all of us, Lord, who have any condition in our bodies, Lord, move, Lord, because of your divine power, in the name of thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, do it for your glory, Lord, for your honor, Lord, and we will give you all the glory, we will say to the God, he is great, Lord, move among us and add to our number, Lord, turn saints' hearts towards you, all those that have waxed cold and all those, Lord, who've kind of, you know, just you know, discouragement, different things are just eating away in their faith in God. Lord, restore such an one.
Yes,
strengthen them with might by your spirit and the enemy. And come in, oh God.
Come in, oh God. Yes.
Draw them back to the foot of the cross. Return their joy in Jesus' name. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of Jesus. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
I will say this, and you may be seated, and I'll be done for tonight. I thank God. We'll be back on Sunday morning. We will be here on Sunday morning. I will say this. One thing I have noticed about during the period of COVID among the saints of God, and this is the danger, and the Lord showed me today because I wasn't even saying it clearly. We have allowed other things when we're not in the sanctuary in the house of God. We have allowed ourselves to get pleasure and joy from someplace else.
Yes.
So that now, when it's time to come back to the house of God, we don't remember while we were coming before. We were coming because people were making us come. We were coming because we enjoyed it.
Yes.
We weren't coming to Christian education because people were making us come. We were coming because we enjoyed it.
Yes.
We weren't having church, you know, and I was thinking about today. I said, God, you know, we want to go back to a full schedule or whatever thing. I said, you know, people got this going and that going and whatever. You allowed things to fill in. Many of us allowed other things to come in and fill in those spaces that belong to God. And you have forgotten how much joy God gave you and the pleasure you had in being in the house of God and hearing the word of God. Now you've turned to other places and other things and got comfortable in them. And when the thought of being back in the house of God and glorifying God and worshiping God, that seems like it's a chore.
Sure. Yeah.
And we're trying to, and you know, like you're being trying to make, you know, God, I gotta start going back to church on Friday night. You forget that you used to enjoy
it. Yes.
I gotta go to Christian education. You forget that you used to enjoy it. Well, the same joy you used to have is still here.
Yes.
Same God that was blessing and giving you joy then is still here. And we need to be reminded of that because the world is like a sand trap. When you dig a hole, the sand quickly fills in.
Yes.
And the world is like that. When you vacate a slot that you've been given to God, the world fills it in. No one that I know is any less busy because we weren't having regular service.
Yes.
There was no one who said, well, God, on those days, I'm just bored. I have nothing to do. Everybody found something
else to do. Yeah.
You found something to do on your Sunday evenings. You found something else to do on your Friday nights. You found something to do on your Tuesday nights. Everybody found something else to do. Call to remembrance the former days when you loved God and God loved you. And remember that no one beat you to come into the house of God. You came because you loved God.
Amen.
You came because of the joy of God and the Lord was lifting you up. I'm looking at everybody now who's doing all the things that every place that they had in God and the struggle they have at coming back is because they have filled in every one of those blocks of time and everything that belongs to God. I have news for you. What you fill them in with will not bless you.
Amen.
And what you fill them in with will not give you the joy that God gives you. I encourage you. Get into the house of God. Get back into worship and lifting up holy hands. Do the things you need to do in God. God is faithful.
Yes, He is.
God is faithful.
Faithful.
The Lord will bless you if you allow Him to. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Let's stand. Let's get ready.